Mohammed had made a great convert in Malcolm X, and Malcolm went forth to become the chief spokesman for black Islam in the United States. Cassius Clay, better known as Muhammad Ali, is today the best public relations man for black Islam. But it was Malcolm X who really put the movement on the road or in the eyes of the public for everybody to see it with his publications and with his tremendously powerful apologetic for the Negro. And I'd like to give a few quotations to demonstrate just how effective Malcolm X was and just what the theology of Islam is as Malcolm X explained it, because he was Elijah Muhammad's prize pupil. Questions were addressed to Malcolm X in a taped interview shortly before his death, and I have a copy of that transcript, and I'd like to give you some excerpts from it because I think they reveal more about black Islam than one could get from reading 100 of the newspapers and 20 or 30 books on the subject. Question: what is the ambition of the black Muslims? Answer: freedom, justice, and equality are our principal ambitions, and to faithfully observe and follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the guiding goal of every Muslim. Mr. Muhammad teaches us the knowledge of ourselves and our own people. He cleans us up morally, mentally, and spiritually, and he reforms us to the vices that have blinded us here in the Western society. I don't know when Armageddon is supposed to be, but I know that the time is near when the white man will be finished. The signs are all around us. Christ wasn't white. Christ was black. The poor, brainwashed Negro has been made to believe Christ was white, to maneuver him into worshiping white men. Mr. Muhammad says that Allah is going to wake up all black men to see white men as he really is and see what Christianity has done to them. The black masses that are waking up don't believe in Christianity anymore. All it's done for black men is to help keep them slaves. Mr. Muhammad is teaching that Christianity as white people see it means that whites can have their heaven on earth, but the black man is supposed to catch his hell here. You must understand that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad represents the fulfillment of biblical prophecy to us. In the Old Testament, Moses lived to see his enemy Pharaoh drowned in the Red Sea, which is in essence means that Mr. Muhammad will see the completion of his work in his lifetime, that he will live to see victory gained over his enemies. And then, of course, Malcolm was asked more questions. One of the questions: how do you reconcile your disavowal of hatred with the announcement that you made last year that Allah had brought you the good news that 120 white Atlantans had just been killed in an air crash en route to America from Paris? Answer: as I see the law of justice, it says, as you sow, so shall you reap. The black man's true God, Allah, to defend us and for us to be joyous, because our God manifests his ability to inflict pain on our enemies. We Muslims believe that the white race, which is guilty of having oppressed and exploited and enslaved our people here in America, should and will be the victims of God's divine wrath. All civilized societies in their courts of justice set a sentence of execution against those deemed to be enemies of society, such as murderers and kidnappers. The presence of 20 million black people here in America is proof that Uncle Sam is guilty of kidnapping, because we didn't come here voluntarily on the Mayflower, and 400 years of lynching condemn Uncle Sam as a murderer. Islam is a religion that teaches us never to attack, never to be the aggressor. But you can paste somebody if he attacks you. These Negro leaders have become aware that whenever the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is caused by their attacks to level his guns against them, they always come out on the losing end. Many have experienced this. Another thing to think of in the 20th century, the Christian Church has given us two heresies, fascism and communism. Then Malcolm went on to discuss something else which black Islam has very definite views on, the position of the Jew. Let me quote once more. Where did fascism start? Where is the second largest communist party outside of Russia? The answer to both is Italy. Where is the Vatican? But let's not forget the Jew. Anybody that gives even a just criticism of the Jew is instantly labeled anti-Semite. The Jew cries louder than anybody else if anybody criticizes him. You can tell the truth about any minority in America, but make a true observation about the Jew, and if it doesn't pat him on the back, then he uses his grip on the news media to label you anti-Semite. Let me say just a word about the Jew and the black man. The Jew is always anxious to advise the black man, but they never advise him how to solve his problem the way the Jews solve their problem. The Jew never went sitting and crawling in and sliding in freedom riding, like he teaches and helps Negroes to do. The Jews stood up and stood together, and they used their ultimate power, the economic weapon. That's exactly what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is trying to teach black men to do. The Jews pooled their money and bought the hotels that barred them. They bought Atlantic City and Miami Beach and anything else they wanted. Who owns Hollywood? Who runs the garment industry, the largest industry in New York City? But the Jew that's advising the Negro joins the NAACP, CORE, the Urban League, and others. With money donation, the Jew gains control, then he sends the black man doing all this wading in, boring in, even burying in, everything but buying in. He never shows him how to set up factories and hotels, never advises him how to own what he wants. No, when there's something worth owning, the Jews got it. All these things dangled before us by the white liberal posing as a friend and benefactor have turned out to be nothing but bait to make us think we're making progress. The Supreme Court's decision has never been enforced. Desegregation has never taken place. The promises have never been fulfilled. We have received only token substitutes, trickery, and deceit. I think after one listens to words like this, from someone like the late Malcolm X, and realizes that this same material is found consistently in the literature of black Islam today, that the so-called, if we may use the phrase, party line has not altered. And we are reminded of the words which appear in God's great discourse with Abraham as recorded in the book of Genesis. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee will all the nations of the earth be blessed. What is God saying? Don't touch Israel. Israel is the apple of my eye. If you will, in the Hebrew, the pupil of my eye. That's how sensitive Israel is to God. Leave the Jew to God's judgment, because God will deal with his own people. And what we are seeing here is a virulent form of anti-Semitism. Some truth involved in it, to be sure, as there is always truth involved when one is making accusations. But blanket condemnation is what leads to the Dachau's, the Buchenwald's, and the Ravensbrook's. It is this type of thinking which brings upon nations the shame that we have seen in the past, particularly under fascism, and now in Russia, where persecution of the Jew is beginning to rear its head once more with great force. I think once we grasp these things, we can understand the threat of black Islam, because they are moving out and binding people together in the Negro community, not on the basis of love, compassion, or brotherhood, but on the basis of hate. A hate for others instead of a love for one another and for one's fellow man. The scripture gives us an important dictum, Leviticus 19:18. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, if we're going to take seriously what the scripture says, we have to believe that loving our neighbor as ourself is a divine command. This places Christianity and the teachings of Elijah Muhammad at direct loggerheads. Because, in effect, what we are seeing here is the command from him that those who oppose black Islam are not to be loved, but to be opposed themselves. And one need only read the literature to understand that they are to be thoroughly and consistently hated. Another question was asked by the Herald Tribune I thought was quite interesting. Question: you seem to have based your theses on the premise that all non-white races are necessarily black. Answer: Mr. Muhammad says that the red, the brown, and the yellow are indeed all part of the black nation. which means that black, brown, red, yellow, all are brothers, all are one family. The white one is a stranger. He's the odd fellow. And white people, who also are seeing the pendulum of time catching up with them, are now trying to join with blacks, or even find traces of black blood in their own veins, hoping that it will save them from the catastrophe they see ahead. Close quote. Of course, here we are seeing emphasis upon black superiority. And I think one of the things that we ought to keep in mind at this particular juncture is that if Malcolm X could be swept into this, and he was a highly intelligent man, think of all of the people in the black community who do not have Malcolm's acumen and capacities, who have not only been swept into this, but are today vigorously projecting these teachings and proselyting in the name of Elijah Muhammad, believing these things. Elijah Muhammad's statement, and I'm quoting now from Malcolm X, "The white man is the devil," just clicked, he's talking about in his own mind. "I'm a good example of why Islam is spreading so rapidly across the land. Mr. Muhammad's teaching brought me from behind prison walls and placed me on the podiums of some of the leading colleges and universities in the country." Close quote. What is Malcolm saying? I listened to Elijah Muhammad. He gave me self-respect. He taught me how to survive in a white culture. I banded together into this particular protest movement, which is exactly what it is. And what happened? Other people are listening to me now. And the black people are listening. You know, I think it's a tragic comment, but true, that people often destroy their greatest leaders and their greatest potential good without recognizing it. Malcolm X went to Mecca to make a pilgrimage because official Islam rejects Elijah Muhammad and rejects Farad or Wallace Fard as an incarnation or a manifestation of Allah, since Allah is spirit and cannot take human form. And so he went over there to Mecca in order to have a spiritual experience, an awakening, something that would be meaningful to him. When he got over there, Malcolm found that there were white people there and black people there and brown people there and yellow people there, and they all were followers of Islam, all devotees of the Quran. And here he was exposed to true historic Islam. And when he came back, he tried to communicate this to Elijah Muhammad, who's never been there. What was the result? There was a split in the organization. Malcolm changed his view about the white-eyed devils and all white men being evil, because he couldn't then be a good follower of Islam, and started to talk more moderately and in a conciliatory tone. It wasn't long after that that Malcolm X, who could have been one of the bright conciliatory stars in the firmament of bringing black and white together in many of these situations, was brutally assassinated by his own kind and by a member of black Islam. I think this speaks very, very pointedly of the inherent danger of believing too much in the authority of one leader and swearing allegiance to him as a manifestation of the divine. We also have to face some other facts. The entire American economy is based on white supremacy, say the black Muslims. Even the religious philosophy, in essence, is white supremacy. A white Jesus, a white virgin, white angels, white everything, but a black devil, close quote. That's from black Islam. That's what they believe. You see how everything is put in terms of the black and the white. And then this quotation. "Mr. Muhammad is warning this generation of white people that they too are facing a time of harvest in which they will have to pay for the crimes committed when their grandfathers made slaves out of us. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches that it is now God's intention to put the black man back at the top of civilization where he was in the beginning, before Adam, the white man, was created. The world since Adam has been white and corrupt. The world of tomorrow will be black and righteous. In the white world, there has been nothing but slavery, suffering, death, and colonialism. In the black world of tomorrow, there will be true freedom, justice, and equality for all. And that day is coming, sooner than you think. The black Muslim movement speaks more eloquently for itself than any of its interpreters or critics. And they have made their position abundantly clear. Now, let me sum up in a practical way what this means where Christianity is concerned. What do the black Muslims believe concerning basic theological truths? I don't think it's important, and I think we waste a great deal of time going into it, to discuss a general outline of Christian theology, because black Islam simply rejects it out of hand. They certainly don't accept the Trinity, the virgin birth, the deity of Jesus Christ, his vicarious atonement for our sins, or his bodily resurrection from the dead. That's just for openers. And we could go on from there with one negation after the other. What we want to know is what they believe for themselves. What is the theology of black Islam? What are some of their basic tenets? First, that the black man is the original creation. He was created approximately 66 trillion years ago. This, of course, creates a number of problems for the people who are trying to support the position, seeing that man has been on Earth, to the best of our knowledge, all of the information available to us, anthropologically and geologically, and from every other science that we can possibly draw upon, man has been on the Earth that we know of approximately 2 to 2.5 million years. Some have tried to push it up to 4 million years. They haven't been too successful. But 2 million years is probably a very liberal figure for the age of man on the Earth. I think if we went into the analysis of fossil man and so forth, we could probably spend a great deal of time discussing various ages, and some people would accept it and some people wouldn't. But the only important thing that I'm trying to bring out is this, that 66 trillion years, definitely not, because the Earth itself is between 6 and 8.5 billion years old. And therefore, it would be very difficult to populate the Earth with a super black race, a considerable number of eons before the Earth was created. Therefore, 66 trillion years does pose problems for the theology of black Islam. Secondly, they maintain that Allah did not create the white man. Instead, a genius called Yaqub, or Adam, an evil genius, did and was expelled from paradise. That all took place 6,000 years ago. Thirdly, Allah appeared as W.D. Fard and appointed Elijah Muhammad to carry on the work of Islam and to deliver the black man from Christianity, which is an alien and inferior religion, and restore the true religion of Islam. This, of course, makes it very difficult to understand, because Christianity antedates Islam, how one can restore the true religion when the other religion antedates that religion will take a considerable amount of stretching the facts. But nevertheless, this is one of the planks in the platform of black Muslim religion. I think also that we can recognize here that Fard represents the Lord Jesus Christ in Christian theology, and Elijah Muhammad is quite obviously the one who is carrying on the work for him afterwards. And that would probably be a prophet or head of the apostolic authority. We couldn't say it would be John the Baptist, because we would have to reverse it. But instead, Fard would represent God incarnate, and Elijah Muhammad would be the chief prophet of the religion, or the chief apostle of the religion, and himself moving onwards, I think, from all evidence, towards divinity. We are, of course, confronted with the words of Jesus Christ at this juncture. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Do not go after them, said Christ. Do not follow after them. And many have come in his name and those who have clung tenaciously to him have known the liberation that Christ alone can give. For if the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed. Then another plank in the platform of Muslim theology is that man has no immortal soul. Only Allah is immortal. This they derived from the theology of Jehovah's Witnesses, because in the 1920s, W.D. Fard was a devotee of the writings of J.F. Rutherford, who was then the president of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. And his literature reflects the influence of the Jehovah's Witnesses at that particular time. Now, you wouldn't know that unless you did an analysis of the history of it. But once you get into the theology of it, you find Watchtower theology ingrained at different places in this particular theology of Black Islam. And it's strange that the Watchtower's theology and Fard's theology at this point are identical. And I don't think that we have too much difficulty in finding out where he derived it from. The black will inherit the earth after Armageddon. And Malcolm X said he didn't know when Armageddon was. They were postulating Armageddon around 1970, a few years ago. 1970 has now passed us by, so Armageddon is now a distinct problem in their eschatological scheme. But so far as Black Islam is concerned, the black will inherit the earth, the white will be judged for their oppression of the black, and heaven will be on earth. For heaven and hell, as we understand it in Christian theology, do not exist in Muslim theology, not in the theology of black Muslim. Malcolm X put it this way: the black man is supposed to keep believing that when he dies, he'll float up to some city with golden streets and milk and honey on a cloud somewhere. Every black man in North America has heard black Christian preachers shouting about tomorrow in good old Beulah land. But the thinking black masses today are interested in Muhammad's land. The promised land that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talks about is right here on this earth. Close quote. Now, as we have analyzed so far the teachings of Black Islam, we can see that we are dealing with a socio-economic and religious phenomena. We are dealing with those who have firm convictions concerning the future and the part that they feel that they must play in it. We are dealing with those who feel that they have been persecuted and oppressed. And we are dealing with those who feel that they are the instrument of God for the restoration of a new era. And Elijah Muhammad is to be the vehicle for the ushering in of that great era. As to the establishment of a black state, the isolation of the Negro from the cultural and racial complex of our times in the American Republic is not the answer, but instead his full and complete integration, as intended by the Founding Fathers and the great Emancipator, must be the continued goal. Such responsible leaders as the late Martin Luther King and others, who invoke Christian ethics in resistance to evil within the boundaries of the law, will in the end lead the black man through love, patience, and faith into his rightful heritage. I believe it is very significant that thinking black leaders such as Thurgood Marshall, Roy Wilkins of the NAACP, James Farmer, the late Martin Luther King, and Dr. Ralph Bunche have all repudiated the excesses of black Islam and have all, as responsible leaders should, pointed their people toward the freedom and justice which is to be obtained under the American Constitution. In the light of Holy Scripture, we can expect the testimony of history to say that the black Islam cult and all movements based upon hate and revenge have disappeared under the sands of time, as has Wallace Fard and Malcolm X, and as will Elijah Poole, to whom the words of Hosea were fittingly applied when he said, "If you sow to the wind, you shall reap the whirlwind." The Apostle Paul's fitting comment upon this statement was, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." This speaks of divine judgment for the black Muslim movement and its misguided followers, who are willing to love their neighbors if their neighbors are black, and to hate their enemies, those who are non-black. The Christian attitude in the midst of all this must be one of patience, love, and a firm resolve. We must turn the other cheek to their abuses and strive to guarantee for them and for all Americans, regardless of race, their just rights under the laws of our land. In this way, we shall indeed demonstrate to them the love and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. In stark contrast to the teachings of their block Allah must be the words of the Son of God, who warned us that many would come in His name claiming to be Christ and would deceive many. You have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, said Jesus Christ. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans the same? I believe as we analyze black Islam, we must recognize that it is a challenge to the Christian church. It characterizes Christianity as the white man's religion, when in reality Christianity does not discuss the color of one's skin ever, but instead recognizes the fact that God is colorblind and that He looks only upon the nature and condition of the soul, and whether or not that soul has had an encounter with the person of His Son, who bore in His own body our sins upon the tree. Let us put all of these things in their proper perspective, and looking at them as they ought to be looked at in the light of Holy Scripture, let us remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. You will find rest unto your souls. The target of Jesus Christ was the reconciliation of lost men to God. The targets of black Islam are white men, Christianity, the Jews, and whoever stands in the way of the realization of a black empire. Christ said, Blessed are the meek. The meek shall inherit the earth. We have a parody on that today in black Islam. The black shall inherit the earth. The message of the scripture is that God could care less about the color of men's skin. He is interested in the condition of their soul.